sweat the technique.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
He's blank. I'm Branham. 6787. Guys, I had to move to Dallas about 5 years ago. Lo siento. I just got to say, it is so freaking good to hear quality sports radio again. Dallas-Fort Worth Sports Radio is like listening to parents of the worst kid on a team gloat about how good their little loser is. That makes me...
Well put.
Thank you for this small moment of bliss while I'm on my work trip. Truly, thank you. Who'd you pay to send that in there, Blinkers?
No, I was just going to say, hey, there is an app. You can take us with you so that even when you're in the Dirty D, you can still have us on your phone and your Bluetooth and listen to us every... So you don't have to listen to that crap.
Yeah, I usually prefer the mean text. That way we can use them and turn them around on Friday. But there was some meanness in that text that we can use. So that was an all-encompassing text. You get a little bit of the compliments that Blinkers likes. You get some of the meanness that I like, so we can repurpose it. So thank you for that. And yeah, great point.
I don't mind the meanness unless it's directed at me specifically or
noticed.
Us. But
I noticed.
I mean, I'm able to admit
you're good
that.
With the meanness as long as you're not the direction of the mean.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would prefer it be away from our show, period. But yeah, I'm honest about it.
I love the meanness when they're not talking about me. It's great.
Can we get bull shirts to put that on a shirt?
What did you just say?
Can we get bull shirts to put that on a shirt?
I thought you said something else.
I love meanness unless it's directed at me.
That's a great
quote
line.
Joel Blank.
Quote Joel Blank, probably. Aristotle, probably. All right, Rockets finished their season yesterday. Great. Look, good. I hesitate to say great. Great turnaround. You get to 41 wins. Where were you the year prior? 23?
22.
22.
In the Vegas,
19
Vegas
win turnaround.
Over-under, I think, was 31.5. So they
cashed
far,
that ticket.
Far
cha-ching.
Exceeded that.
Cha-ching for Branham. I was all over that because I'm a homer. Let's do some exit interviews now with the Rockets. Good season. Everything's pointing up in the right direction. Ime looks like he is legit as a head coach. 41 wins. The 19-game turnaround, fantastic. You were like kind of in contention, kind of. That it was their goal, which is great. You know, aim for the moon, because if you fall short, you're still amongst the stars. But a good year one under Ime Udoka. So let's have exit interviews with the players. And look, these exit interviews, they got to hear what they need to hear. They're a little overweight, then you lose a little bit of weight. This is the stuff you're going to hear in exit meetings. All right, Brian, get us started. Who are we meeting with first?
I think the obvious candidate that we got to talk to first is the guy who we've thought needed to be traded at some points, the guy who thought we might be the best player at points, especially in March. A very up-and-down season, but first we got to talk to Jalen Green.
Yeah, I'll start by saying, look, Jalen, you know what? There were signs of the guy that we saw when we drafted you and that we still believe you can be. But there's stuff that this offseason you need to take advantage of. It's not just simply, you know, working on your shot or working on offensive capabilities. It's working on how your game can get better within the structure of a team. I think that he's got to work on, and when he plays in games and a lot of the summer leagues and things like that, that a lot of these guys play in, and when he's competing in runs, he's got to work on his defense. He's got to work on the ability to play through contact, and he's got to work on his ability to see the floor and pass the ball, because those are things that we've seen that have wavered throughout the season. We know he can score. There's always going to be, you know, the difference between a shooter and a scorer, and his shooting could get better. But for me, the main thing is just the other elements of the game that we need him to work on. We need you to work on, because we need you as that we need those aspects as part of our team.
Jalen, brother, you're going to learn how to shoot the basketball a little bit better. This under 35% from three in the first 3 years of your career, unacceptable. In fact, you've trended the wrong way in each one of those three. You were 34% in your first year, 33.8% in your second year, and you were 332 this year. That's not good enough. We talk about your inconsistent like offensive struggles at times. You score 35 one night, you score 12 the next night. Why? Because you can't shoot consistently from behind the three-point line. You need to be a consistent shooter that we can trust that knocks down threes at a higher than 35% clip. I'm actually okay with your signs defensively. I think you've improved there in some areas. I think you're better at reading defenses and coming off of picks and screens, things like that, running a little pick and roll. You have to become a better three-point shooter. All of these things about your inconsistency will be fixed if you're above 35% from three.
Inconsistencies in his whole game?
No, I think specifically for three-point shooting. Three-point shooting is not good enough. If you're going to be an elite scorer or a good scorer or like on the top 10 scorers in the league. You got to be a better shooter, and that's where you need to fix your game the most, Jalen Green. All right, who's next?
All right, next up is arguably the Rockets' best player, someone who could be maybe up for a max deal pretty soon. Let's go with Alperen Şengün next.
To me, with Alpi, he made great – Alpi, you made great strides, man. You figured out how, with a real coaching staff, to take advantage of the tutelage, to understand the offense, to be a facilitator, to be able to pass, shoot, score. We already knew you had those things, but now you've kind of maximized those a lot more. Where it all starts and ends with me is you've got to get better on the defensive end. You've got to learn. You've got to watch film. You've got to work on. And Thiago Splitter is a guy you can learn from as a coach that's been a good defensive player in this league. You have to learn on how to switch. You have to learn how to keep a body on guys. You have to learn that even if you are limited in terms of your side to sides and your movement, you can be a better defender because that's going to help this team win more basketball games.
Alpi, man, you're going to have to get faster. I don't know how you're going to do it because that's not something that you're great at. But you're going to have to get quicker. We need you to move laterally much better, and you need to become a much better defensive player. You want to be an all-star. You want to be our best player. You got to be better on that side of the ball. And the only way you're going to be better on that side of the ball is to get faster and to get quicker. So whatever that entails, agility, some sort of, working with a speed guy. I don't know. I'm just a basketball coach. You need to get better defensively, and you need to become a better athlete. That's tough to do. I totally understand it. You try hard. We love you there. On the offensive end, like I told Jalen, we want you to shoot the basketball a little bit better. Sometimes whenever you're on the floor offensively, good offensive player, our spacing isn't great because people don't respect your outside shooting. You're under 30% this year. Get it up to 33%. Become a better three-point shooter. We can space the floor a little bit better, which opens things up for our guards. Alpi, quicker, better three-point shooting.
All right, next up is, I think, a rookie we're all very impressed with, and you mentioned in the last segment, had a very good game yesterday in the season finale against the Clippers. We'll go with Amen Thompson next.
Amen Thompson, for me, look, Amen, you played way more than you gave us way more than even we expected in year one. The fact that you did so many things so well, to me, it all starts and ends with you got to work on that jumper. You just have to consistently work on that jumper all summer long. Whether you need to fix your mechanics a little bit or not, you need to work on making more threes, being confident taking threes, and working on just shooting the basketball so that you feel comfortable taking just about any shot on the floor.
Amen, excellent Thompson. I will echo what Blanker said. We want you to become a better three-point shooter, which I'm noticing a trend here. Rockets were not a very good three-point shooting team. And at times, you were abysmal to watch shooting the three-pointer. If become a little bit more consistent there, although I'm not sure I'm going to be comfortable enough to allow you to take the three-point shot willingly and often in games. But on top of that, become a better NBA point guard. You certainly have the skill set to do that. You have the passing ability. Sometimes you're a little sloppy with the ball. Let's fix up the handles a little bit. Like we told Jalen Green, let's make some better decisions off of actions or off pick and rolls. Three-point shooting, if you improve enough, I'll let you shoot the three-pointer. If you don't, you're not shooting it next year. And get a little bit better with your handles, Amen.
All right, next one, the second of the Rockets' top four picks, another piece of the young core here. Probably the piece of the four young core that maybe Rockets fans have the least hope for as far as becoming an actual superstar. But let's talk about Jabari Smith Jr.
I think with Jabari, look, I think that you've proven to be a quality player in this league. I think where you elevate your game and also elevate our team is that when you have smaller players on you, that you have to understand the matchup and understand that you have an advantage. Take advantage of that. Don't let them off the hook by just trying to square them up where they have an advantage because they're quicker. Where you have the advantage is size. Put them in your back pocket. Back them down. Work on shooting over smaller guys. Just work on the fact that you can't let the post game be a lost art with the way that you play the game and how it affects our team.
You said Cam, right?
No, he said Jabari.
Oh, Jabari. My bad. Jabari, I want you to be tougher. I want Jabari Smith to be a guy who's in the top 10 in rebounding. And I think that rebounding is mostly effort. Like, you have to have a certain body type. You have to have a certain amount of athleticism. I think Jabari has that. He's 6'11". He's long. I want you, Jabari, to become a tough son of a gun. Put a little mud in the blood. Be a double-digit rebound guy next year. That should be your challenge. You should also, I think you're a good enough shooter, Jabari, to be a 40% three-point shooter. We need, again, to collectively as a team be better behind the three-point line. I think you're one of our better shooters. But 36% from you ain't enough. I want you to shoot 40%. Challenge yourself to be a 40% three-point shooter. Challenge yourself to be a double-digit rebound guy next year. Get tougher and stronger in your third year in the NBA.
Let's talk about another rookie. You just mentioned his name. Cam Whitmore showed a lot of potential as a scorer, but other things came into question. What is your exit meeting with Cam Whitmore?
Cam, as much as you did, we already knew what you could do. We know you can put the ball on the floor and score. We know that you can finish on the break. We know you have a lot of offensive ability. You have to realize that offense is also part of it is passing the basketball. You have to work on opening up your game by opening up your eyes, taking the blinders off, and finding other guys on the floor that wear the same colored uniform and getting them the basketball. You will get it back when you're open. You will get plenty of opportunities to shoot. But you have got to be a better passer and a more willing passer for this team to do what it's capable of doing. And then on the flip side, you also have to learn how to play competitive defense. The fact that you can score, everybody in this league comes into the league with some ability to do something offensively and score for the most part. Where the separation is made is when you can play quality defense in this league and you got some work to do.
Cam, I love that we got you at pick number 20. We do feel like you were an absolute steal at 20. We love that we got you there. I love the maturity that you've shown this year. We had you in the G League. You never batted an eye. And then you came up to the big club and you produced some really good moments. You had that killer instinct, kind of that tough-minded mentality that we like on this team. So that's a start. Shot selection has to be better. You're a bit of a chucker. Like, you will put up some shots that I don't want you to take. You shot the three-pointer well. We like your three-point shooting ability, but you took some shots that you're probably not capable of making at a very high percentage. So let's take some better shots next year. Also, whenever you're on the offensive end and the defense gets the basketball, whether it's a rebound, whether it's an inbound, however the other team is getting the ball, I want your first two steps back on defense to be running. Too many times I saw your first two steps as walking steps, and I'm not going to let that fly next year in your sophomore year.
We want to do a couple more?
We're good.
Okay, let's go to some of the veterans now. We talked a lot about a lot of the young guys. Let's go to some of the players you paid in free agency to get on this team during the last offseason. Let's go with Fred Van Vliet next.
To me, Fred, just keep doing what you're doing. We brought you in to be a leader, a coach on the floor, a guy that helps to consistently make the rest of these guys better. And when we need you to do the other things like scoring and assisting, you're capable of doing those things too. At this point in your career, you're exactly what we wanted you to be. And as an extension of our coaching staff, that's exactly what we want you to continue to do. Get the ball in the hands of the young players so that they can develop, but still keep playing your game your way because there aren't that many cracks in it. And the fact is, it's been a huge upgrade for us because of the way you've played.
Yeah, Fred, love your leadership. Love that we paid you all that money to be a professional. Whenever you're not having a good offensive game next year, I don't want you shooting the basketball 20 times. If you're in rhythm and you're having a good game and the shots are falling, yeah, feel free. Feel free to let it fly. If you're not feeling it early and you're struggling, don't take 20 shots a game. We have other guys. We can get Jalen Green involved. We can get Alpi involved. Maybe Jabari. We can run some plays to get him some shots. Amen Thompson can be creative. If you're not feeling it offensively, we don't want you to shoot the ball more than 20 times a game.
And you have the other high-priced offseason move. Let's talk about Dylan Brooks.
All right,
Dylan. We need you to do a lot of the little things a little bit better. The fact to me is that I know you. Part of the reason why we brought you in here is we want you to kind of give that edge. We want you to be that guy. But we also need you to kind of keep it within the framework of don't go too far too soon or in too many situations. You can do less poking of the bear and more grabbing of the rebounds, more being able to be a guy that when you get the ball offensively and you get the ball within the framework of the system, you can make the three. You can make some shots. But to me, it's all about the fact that you have to kind of hone in some of the reason why we brought you in here. We like the tenacity. We just don't need it to be taken to the next level too many times.
Dylan, love what you bring to our team, the toughness, the physicality, not willing to back down to anybody. That's exactly what we want here for the Rockets. I want your technicals to go up. I need more technicals from you, Dylan. You only had 17 this year. I want you to be in the 20s next year. I want you to start 3 to 5 fights next season. I want you at least twice to get the other team's leading scorer ejected. If you're going to be the villain, those are the things I need to see from my villain for the Houston Rockets.
I nailed it, Jeremy. I think I think Dylan Brooks will step up and get that done for
20
you.
Technicals, minimum.
Dylan just walked out and called his psychiatrist going, what the hell am I supposed to do? One guy told me one thing, and the other guy told me to go off the rails.
20 technicals from Dylan Brooks next year. All right, happy tax day, by the way. Happy tax day to all of you. What are things that you hate doing? 713-780-ESPN. What are things that you hate doing? 713-780-3776. One thing that I love doing, talk about the positive first, it's drinking Gin-O-Pin, the vodka. Oh, yeah. Gin, straight bourbon whiskey, cast-strength bourbon, all are fantastic. All of them are top shelf. It starts with the finest ingredients, classic, time-honored distilling methods. Gin-O-Pin uses their revolutionary technology that eliminates impurities for the cleanest, smoothest spirits you'll ever taste in your life. One of the things you'll love that's not in Gin-O-Pin are harsh solvents. Doesn't that sound bad? Harsh solvents? It's not in Gin-O-Pin, though. These are nasty elements that don't belong in your spirit, and they don't in Gin-O-Bin. You get all the flavor with none of the burn with Gin-O-Bin, unparalleled smoothness and an enjoyable drinking experience. All of our listeners that have Gin-O-Bin, like, you're right. This is smooth. Get some Gin-O-Bin. Test for yourself. Next time you head to dinner, go to your favorite bar, ask for Gin-O-Bin. Look for it at the liquor store. Pick up a bottle today. Head to the tasting room in Alvin. If you're going to an Astros game anytime soon, you can stop by Ben's Bar on the way to your seats. I had a buddy tell me that he did when he went to the Astros game over the weekend. You can do it too. Or if you just want to order straight online, you just cut down to the business side of it, you can do that too. Go to gentlebin.com, order all of it, the vodka, the gin, the whiskey, the bourbon, straight at gentlebin.com. Do it now. Gin-O-Bin, all of the flavor, none of the burn.
Want to go to Chachi's, get some coffee?
It's a little early.
I got to get out of here. I think I'm going to lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Name the movie.
No clue.
Oh,
really? Oh, that hurts me. That's maybe my favorite comedy of all time.
What is it?
Probably me too.
Office Space.
Oh, never. I think I saw it a long time ago.
1996? It's from Mike Judge.
Classic.
Mike Judge, same guy that created King of the Hill and Beavis and Butthead.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know the same guy that did that. No salt. No salt.
You have Milton, yeah. Talk about your swing line stapler.
Burn down the building.
Yep.
All right, what are things that, today's tax day. I didn't realize that until I opened up Google Calendar today.
Wait, you hadn't done it?
I hadn't paid my taxes.
Well, so when are you doing it? When you get home?
I did it today.
Wow.
It after I found out.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, I'd already had them done.
Oh, okay.
I have a guy. Because my taxes are a bit complicated.
I was going to say, good on you, because with all your different things you got going on, yeah, that's tough.
No, I have a guy. Really good. Really, really good at what he does.
Do you have to worry about like paying taxes in other states as well?
Quiet down, B-Mac. It's a live mic right now to one of the largest cities in the country.
I didn't mean to ask you.
Yeah, get out of my wallet there, Brian. No, I hadn't paid it yet. I thought it was tomorrow, actually. And I pulled up Google Calendar just because I do that every Monday. And I was like, oh, it's today.
Whoops. Yeah, 15th so every year.
And then, so I just went online and did it direct
deposit. Well, yeah, unless it falls on a weekend and then you get an extension.
Right, and the COVID, you got the extensions during COVID. But in most years, it's the 15th.
All right, so what do we hate? 713-780-3776. This one wasn't very nice to you. He said, I hate listening to Joel talk about sports. We're going to put that for Mean Tech.
Thanks for listening on a daily basis.
Mean Tech. That's coming up Friday. That'll be on there. All right, so what do you hate, Blankers?
For me, it's dumbass drivers, which we've covered before.
Yeah, you're honking them every day.
Yeah, and again, I told BMAC I've already got my quota for today right as I was driving to work today. Yep. So I had a lady in front of me in a maroon Tahoe that decided the light was green, and I even almost did the lane count of the 1-1000, 2-1000. 15 seconds, everybody is, I'm behind her. Every car has already gone through the intersection, and I finally had to honk because she was texting someone and looked up and didn't realize the light was green. Annoying as hell. Every morning I tell you guys how I see 4 to 5 people in my neighborhood blow through stop signs, accelerate through them, not just, I get it, everybody's in a hurry in the morning, but at least pad the brakes, don't accelerate, but yeah, dumbass drivers piss me off.
Buchanan said tax day in California is extended to June 15th. That's crazy.
How they get that?
Do they pay taxes there?
that might be part of the issue.
What do you hate? I hate mowing. 975sinlawn.com. Mowing's awful. I do not like doing that
now,
at all.
If you lived somewhere that wasn't 1,000 degrees for over half the year, would that matter at all?
No.
Okay.
It's a chore. I don't like doing chores.
I mean, it's not that bad as long as the temperature. If the temperature's not bad, it's not bad.
I thought you enjoyed it. Otherwise, you could have gotten a guy to cut your lawn.
You pay a guy.
I do because I don't enjoy it.
I don't enjoy doing it. No, I'm just fiscally responsible and frugal, and I'll do it on my own.
I'm fiscally responsible. My wife will tell you that, but I'm fine having someone else cut the lawn.
Yeah, see, it sounds like you hate it. I hate it, but I suck it up because it's cheaper to do. But if I could. Sinlon. Sinlon's the way to go. They really are. You don't have to worry about mowing anymore. And it's always beautiful. Works with the pavers, works next to the pool. It's fantastic. I also hate hangovers. Gentle Ben is fantastic. All right, Brian, what do you hate?
I hate lots of things, but I'll say first, I hate going to the grocery stores nowadays.
I don't mind that.
Well, especially since I think I've been spoiled by, like, especially at HEB where you can do the curbside pickup. Well, more than just HEB does it, but I mean, when you go in the store, there's so many things that annoy me, whether it be like trying to go to like the 15 items or less line. You look at some person that's got an absolutely overfilled cart and no one says anything. Or I've noticed sometimes when you go down aisles and someone will park their cart on the left side, then walk over to the right side and look at what's on the right side of the aisle and completely block you in.
Oh, yeah, that is annoying.
And it drives me. There's so many things, and that's two of about 30 things I could talk about that drive me nuts with behavior I see at the grocery store. So especially when you can curbside park now or curbside pickup now, I hate going to the grocery store.
Curbside pickup is a bit of a game changer. I still like going in, though. I hate waking up in the mornings, and this isn't like some like super, it's not like I'm depressed and I'm like not excited to see the day. Like I'm cool with the day once I'm up, like once I'm awake, once I've, you know, rattled off whatever would you call it? Whenever you wake up,
the
and you're still kind of tired.
The haze.
I just don't like waking up in the mornings. Like I want to sleep in. I don't want the alarm to go off. Whenever you wake up without the alarm's fine because, you know, it's natural. Mm-hmm. But I'll go with that, actually. I hate waking up to an alarm. It is the worst.
That is the specific part I hate the most, is actually having to have an alarm. Like, the sound of the alarm just makes my brain frazzle. But luckily, I haven't had a job in a long time where I actually had to set an alarm for, partly because I get up by 7 on my own anyway.
Your mental alarm?
Yeah, my body just wakes up by 7 anyway, so I haven't had to do that in a long time. But yeah, the alarm is the worst.
What else do you hate, Blankers?
I hate my wife's alarm. Because
I'm glad you kept that sentence going.
Yeah, she is not afraid to have that thing off, hit the snooze button like 15 times. She has to be up for a workout at 4:30. I can sleep until 6:30, and it goes off like 5 times, and then she starts talking to the dogs, and she just starts, and I'm like, this, I'm not sleeping anymore this morning. I might as well just get up.
Yeah, that's no good, and it's not even you that needs to wake up.
So right.
That one does struggle. Uncle Barney says that you're not allowed to honk after 3 seconds. You got to do it within the 3 seconds. I'm a little bit more on your side than Uncle Barney.
I try to give a little bit of a grace period, but at a certain point, like, you're just being, you know, inconsiderate of everybody else on the road.
Why can't you honk after 3 seconds?
People who don't, but he's saying you need to do it within 3 seconds.
Yeah.
It's because you're waiting too long. Statue of limitations.
Oh, come on.
They're gone.
Right. That's a ridiculous thing.
Saints Patrick. Hey, don't talk to Uncle Barney that way. Saints Patrick, people who don't say thank you or acknowledge you when you hold the door at a restaurant store.
Oh, that's facts.
That's a really good one.
Yeah.
That's
a good one. Just at a restaurant. Grocery store. Anywhere. Anywhere. Like, if I hold the exact.
They don't even acknowledge you sometimes. They don't even make eye contact.
Yeah, in the mornings at the gym, too. I hold it for, like, multiple people if I know there's people behind me. And sometimes you're just like, yep, no problem, gotcha. Because they're just blinders on, like, yeah, I don't care. Just hold it if you want.
2568, people driving the speed limit in the far left lane. It's a passing lane. Use it as such. Facts.
That is facts.
And big rigs need to stay out of the left lane. That lane does not belong to you.
Isn't it illegal here?
I don't know.
I thought that came up with Dre once.
If it is, it's not enforced.
I know parts of the freeway, when it goes down to 2 lanes, when you're out in the middle of nowhere, it does. There are signs that say left lane for passing only. I don't know if anyone. I don't know if law enforcement ever enforces that.
I can't stand.
I've never seen anyone pulled over because they're in the left lane.
If we want to extend just dumbass drivers, for me, the left lane is a huge pet peeve of mine.
Absolutely. 1779, people who say facts. 8074, when getting gassed and it says see cashier. That's not fun.
No, that's not. Yeah, you want to be as quick as possible and just pay at the pump.
It's not expediting the process of paying at the pump.
Right.
Laundry sucks. I don't mind laundry that much.
I don't either.
Yeah, I don't do
my own laundry. I don't have a problem.
I like folding it, but I don't mind doing it.
Folding is the worst part of laundry.
Yeah.
But just put something good on the TV, and it's kind of mindless.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Like, it's really mindless if you put something fine on television. You're not even really thinking about doing that.
Where are you on vacuuming?
I don't mind
I don't do it.
Oh, I don't mind it at all.
I don't mind it at all either.
I don't do it.
Yeah, I have no problem. If she handles the other things, like cleaning the toilets and things, if I got a vacuum, I'm cool.
AR Platinum, I hate when people walk in front of me in parking lots and look at me like, yeah, that's right. You stop for me. Just give me a thank you and wave. Bad word. AR Platinum.
No, there is something to
I don't like it when people move slowly. Like, if you're going to do it, like, hey, if somebody's going to stop for you, move along a little quickly.
Right,
don't just
right.
You know, have the stroll in the park. In fact, people, whenever I'm the one walking, I'll actually do a little bit of a speed walk.
I do too.
Well, Chris Paul speed walk.
Well, there's two things. There's speeding up, and there's also there needs to be acknowledgement. I dealt with that just like 2 days ago, where a lady, I was going to like PetSmart or something, and a lady walked all the way across from the store, across the aisle I was driving through, and I let her through, but she never looked up. She just walked through, same speed, didn't speed up at all, never acknowledged. Hey, you know, hand up, thank you for, you know, let me by. Yeah, just hand up and walk a little bit faster.
Yeah, I'm good with the fact that if a car's waiting for me to cross the crosswalk, especially if I'm walking my dogs, I'll get them to try. We'll run. We'll get across the street. My biggest pet peeve in the parking lot at the grocery store is you know that there's plenty of room to walk near the cars on one side or the other, but you walk dead smack down the middle of the freaking lane, and you don't care how many cars are behind you. That's rude.
Yeah. 2422, drivers that get in the right-hand lane at a stoplight, preventing people from being able to take a red on, a right on
that's,
red.
That's another one.
Awful. That's one of my biggest pet peeves. I will go out of the way to get in the left lane to like not be at the...
There are a few things, like when I'm driving, especially because I have to turn right into my neighborhood the way I go. If I stop at that light right before my neighborhood and I have to wait at a red light because someone who was going through didn't get in the left-hand lane, I lose it.
Brutal. Small chicken fingers in a basket. It's a good one.
That's what?
Yeah, it's whenever they, you know, you order like a four-piece or three-piece
and
whatever,
one of them's
and you
tiny?
Get them and they're all tiny.
Oh,
which, with, what is it, shrinkation now?
It's shrinkflation.
Shrinkflation? Yeah. With shrinkflation these days, these chicken tenders are like, I'm not even sure you can be calling them a tender anymore. Like, these tenders are turned into nuggets.
Yeah,
that's why Canes has extra value.
Yeah, there's more things like I don't know if you guys ever go to Chipotle, but sometimes
I will bite my tongue.
Why? They give you the scoop of meat, and it's just like the half scoop, and then hey man, can I get a full scoop? And then more meat is extra. It's like just give me a regulation scoop, and we don't have this conversation.
Yeah.
I hate listening to all these national media types playing with the new pet. Houston Texans is placing all these lofty expectations on them. Don't run from the expectations.
Well, I think it's a good thing based on where you've come from and what they used to put on you.
I hated listening to the Wheelhouse, and I hated going shopping with women.
Okay.
Are both gone? 713-780
ESPN. Maybe he drove out the women in his life.
Maybe so.
Yeah, I just, to me, when shopping with a woman, they go to their department. I can easily go to other departments. I don't have a problem with that either.
I don't know if this is what he's saying, but I've noticed this, the annoyance I have shopping with my wife, especially if it's an IKEA, because IKEA is the worst place in Western civilization. But when I go shopping, I usually go in like, okay, I'm getting this. I go specifically to the spot. I get that, and then I leave. When my wife walks in, especially if it's Target or IKEA, it's more, let's just wander around and look at things before making a decision. And that's the part of it that drives me crazy.
Makes sense. 9666, when cars ignore the left or right lane close sign and try to jump to the very front, making more traffic. That's with all mergers, though. Like, no one knows how to merge. Well, I shouldn't say no one. Like, a lot of people don't know how to merge, and it does lead to more traffic. 3691, when 18-wheelers change lanes without looking, or they are looking but still do it.
Yeah.
That's another good one.
Big pickup trucks and big rigs do that a lot, not just 18-wheelers.
I think we should make a rule that big rigs are only allowed to be on the highways whenever it's nighttime. Outside of high traffic
hours.
That
should expedite all of the deliveries that go on.
Yeah. Outside, I don't care if you're getting your Amazon package. I do not want 18-wheelers on my roadways. Only at night. Only when Bradham's not on the roadways can 18-wheelers be on
the
roadways.
You're on the roadways at night a lot.
Well, that's why we're altering the rule a little bit.
Okay.
But there's not a lot of traffic, so we can deal with it. 0613, dirty dishes in the sink when the dishwasher is empty. That's a good call. That's a really good call. Just put it in the dishwasher. Where do you stand on rinsing the plate whenever you put it in the dishwasher? Do you rinse it or do you just put it in dirty?
No, I rinse it off.
I rinse it.
Yeah.
I completely rinse it. I don't put soap on it, but I get all the food off.
Okay.
Yep,
I do the same. Sure. When you're waiting for someone to get into their car and back out of a parking space and then they take an absurd amount of time,
that's
a good
awful.
Call.
That's a really good one.
Especially at, like, if there's a lot of spaces, like, go just find another spot. But if it's like jam-packed, a really good call.
Another one on my wife. If I'm doing her the solid by going to the grocery store and she's already texted me a mammoth list, don't wait till I'm done and I'm on my way home to go, oh, did you leave yet? Because I really need these four other things. And you're guilt tripping the hell out of me. And I'm just like, can I get them next time?
Yeah, you're like in the car.
Done that.
Yeah, someone said, I hate George. That's not very nice. I love self-checkout machines nowadays because of how intricate you have to be with putting every single item in the bag. The machine trips so easily. It's a good call. What is your number, the maximum items you will use whenever you'll do a self-checkout machine?
15?
Yeah, I'll do self-checkout. The bigger
you
thing
go
to
that
be
many?
Yeah, not a full car.
See, I'll probably only go like less than 10. with self-checkout.
The big thing with me is the pain in the ass is what slows you down is when you get a punch in all the produce and things like that. Then it's worth it to go through an aisle and let them deal with that. But if it's just like all barcodes, I don't think there's a limit to the number. I'll go through. It's easier that way.
The vegetables are surprisingly easier than I thought it would be.
I actually started memorizing some of the codes for some of the fruit.
They usually have a sticker on them.
Just type in the 4-digit number,
yeah.
Like bananas at Kroger's and HB, I think are 4011. I could punch in 4011 now, weigh them, and I'm done.
I'll go like 10 or that's about it. Like anything more than 10, I'm not going self-checkout.
Now, what about the people that go to the express lane checkout that's supposed to be 10 items or less than 15 items?
Yeah, I mentioned that at the beginning of the segment.
The loaded cart? Ugh. Yeah. I hate that.
I don't hate the player, hate the game.
Yeah, all right. I'm more mad at the employee that doesn't say anything.
That too.
That's the thing. Maybe you should be a maverick for justice here, Brian. Next time you see that's not 10. Have you ever seen that YouTube? There's a guy who went like I think he's got a big YouTube following where he's the shopping cart police. Where like he'll go in the parking lots and like
Barry Laminack?
I don't know.
Oh my god, he used to chase
people
down.
It's not Barry Laminack. But this guy will go into the parking lots where they don't put their shopping cart back into the rack or whatever, and he'll have them on camera, like on his dash cam or whatever. No, it's not a dash cam, it's the GoPro.
Oh yeah.
And he'll start getting on to them about not putting it up. Like, why didn't you do that? Like, what's going on in your life that you couldn't walk 15 feet? And the people that he's talking to will get livid.
I bet.
Like, they want to fight the guy by the time it's all said and done.
People get entitled.
Say, I forget what his name is, but it's funny.
There have been a couple of times I called out people for parking in the handicap spot at the front or at the children. You know how Kroger will have the spot for, like, parents with small children? And you get out of the car and it's just one person, and I've made just a comment, and they get livid.
Yeah.
People don't like to be called out on their
hate the people that make the traffic mistake, but then still feel like they should flip you off and cuss you out, even though they were the dumbass. Like, I had it happen.
I feel like you've dealt with that a lot.
I just had it happen. I had it happen on Sunday. Like, I'm in my turn lane getting ready to turn towards my neighborhood, and there's a delivery truck in front of me that ends up riding up onto the curb, then swerving out into the middle lane, then starts going through the intersection. I'm turning. I'm in the middle of the intersection. And then at the last minute decides to cut in front of me and flip me off and call me an MF-er. I was like, and then lo and behold, the truck ends up right by my house when I was pulling in the neighborhood. And oh my God.
It would be funny if it was your neighbor. The people who stand up as soon as the plane lands and walk to the front just to stand there, that's brutal.
That is
bad. There are times, like, a lot. If I have an aisle seat, I'll stand up and just wait.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't do that. I can't stand that.
That is awful.
Flight delay, that's bad, especially if you have a connection. Someone who pulls out in front of you on the roads when there's nobody behind you. That's a great call. Like, they'll cut you off, and it's like you look in your rearview mirror, and there's nobody in sight. Like, you could have waited 5 seconds.
Can we do airport security?
Airport security. I don't mind it because I have pre-check.
But even,
not clear, but pre-check.
But a lot of times, even maybe it's different when you have whatever one you have, but a lot of times, even if you have, like, some level of pre-check, it still takes way too long. It's forever. The lines are always mammoth.
It feels like more people have pre-check than don't have pre-check nowadays. Cartnark is what it's called. Cartnark is funny. It's worth your time if you're bored at night. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. What's your question for the Killer Bees? It's a mailbag Monday. What do you want to ask the Killer Bees? 713-780-3776, ESPN on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Mail call!
It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
Mailbag Monday. What's your question for the Killer Bees? 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Question for the Killer Bees. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Pena, you're in the hive with the Bees. What's up, Pena?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So, in honor of me going to Italy this week, what is y'all's dream vacation? Thank y'all. Have a great day.
What a flex.
Wait, what was the question? I was too caught up
what
in the
what is our dream
that
vacation?
Oh.
Because his clearly is going to Italy as he flexed and bragged on us.
Yeah.
I mean, Italy's up there.
Have fun in Italy. Have a good time. I've never been overseas. I would love to go overseas.
I haven't either.
I'd love to go. Pena, hook me up.
I think either Italy or the home of my people, Scotland, would probably be my top two.
It kind of has your people. It depends on what you're in the mood to do. Like, are you going to go adventure? Do you have enough time to do all that stuff? Do you have enough time when you get back to kind of relax a bit? Or you just go into a place to just chill and get, have food and drink.
Right.
Like, Scotland to me and England, sure, it'd be fun to go and experience. It seems like it's always cloudy and cold and the weather's never ideal. I'm thinking if I'm going on vacation, I like sunshine and I like you know, the ability to just relax like that in sunny conditions, beach water, yeah. Good. Hawaii is phenomenal.
All-inclusive resort in Galveston. That's what I wanted to do. Do they have those things, all-inclusive resorts in Galveston?
You're setting your bar really low. I love
the
Galveston.
Golden Corral on the Strip.
Yeah, it's called the...
Is there a Golden Corral on the
Strand? I don't know.
On the Strand?
It's called the Chicken to the Sea or whatever one of those boats are down in Galveston. It's all-inclusive, and then they just go through the waters to somewhere else.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have one, Jeremy?
What's that?
It depends
on what I'm in the mood to do.
Just pick one.
If I want to relax, like I'm going to go somewhere tropical on a beach and just lay on there.
Hawaii
lay on
the
beach
or
the
Caribbean?
Day, like a beach dwell. I've been to the Hawaii twice, so give me something new. So I'll go Caribbean. But if I wanted to be like adventure, like I would like to do the whole backpack to Europe thing. Like that would be awesome. See some things I've never seen before. Now, I would want to do it if I had some leeway time on both ends, like especially on the back end. Like I don't want to fly home from doing all that and then go to work the next day.
Right. No. Like that's true. You gotta have some vacation.
Do I have a job right now? Do I not have a job? If I had a job, I'm probably gonna go somewhere to relax. If I didn't have to worry about work or whatever, financially independent, fire, like all that stuff. Like, give me the backpack through Europe. I think
it would be cool to at least once in your life to see a lot of the landmarks and the things across Europe that, you know, a lot of people don't get to see, you know, whether it be the Eiffel Tower or, you know, Italy and all the different things that even in England, there's just a ton of things that you'd like to say you've seen once. That would be very cool. But to me, like, you know, the tropical thing is big. Like Cabo was great. Lots of the islands are great that we've been to. But I'm always going to pick sunshine and water.
Yeah, it's hard to go away from sunshine and water. Yeah. Are you going to golf while you're there?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. 3311, Branham, what's your hair routine for that beautiful coif?
Wow.
I have two cowlicks. I hate my hair. But I go to the barber that Robert Griffin does. We share the same barber shop up in Spring, Vinny's.
You mentioned that a few times. Yes.
Robert Griffin and I go to the same barber. Did y'all know that?
You mentioned it a few times.
I don't have enough hair to do that.
Yeah, you do. You let it grow in back, you used to have.
I did do the man bun once for you.
Yeah, I didn't care for it, but.
Yeah. I'm just happy you cared. 4488, hypothetical question. If Abreu was released by the Astros, would another team pick him up?
For one day, the Chicago White Sox, so he could retire a White Sox. That's it.
You might be right. That might be the only way. Yeah. I think another team would pick him up. He wouldn't be claimed. Like, the whole process, the Astros would have to release him, DFA him. Now he has to go through waivers, but if you claim him off of waivers, you have to pick up the contract. No one would do that. But if he cleared waivers and then became free and the Astros already paid the entire contract, I think somebody would pick him up.
Chicago White Sox are awful. Yeah. And so at least from the standpoint of bringing back a fan favorite, he might have a job for the rest of the year.
Yeah, but they also want to play their young guys. Like, it might not even be a big league team. It would be like Yuli with the Braves. Like, somebody would sign him. You're going to be our AAA team if we have injuries. If maybe you figure it all out. Like, somebody would give him a chance. I'm not sure it would be on the major league level, and it would certainly not be with the contract he currently has.
No, you could try and sell tickets, too, with a guy if he's a, you know, someone that could maybe people would be excited about. But other than that, yeah, I think it's more like you said, prove it on a minor league deal, but I don't think any major league team's chomping at the bit going, yeah, there's a guy that can help us.
A lot of people are weighing in that there is a Golden Corral on Seawall. It disturbs me that so many people know that.
I think I've seen that. Yeah, I think you're right.
All the different restaurant variations in Galveston, you're going to go...
No, I mean, I wouldn't do it.
I'm not saying you personally.
I didn't know
that they would put one on the Seawall.
When was the last time that you've been to a Golden Corral?
College.
I used to... Mine was probably in college, too.
Yeah.
There was a guy I used to work with that would go to Golden Corral all the time, and all he would get was steak and peas.
What?
It was so weird.
I mean, my go-to is usually the fried chicken and the mac and cheese.
Well, and they always have the fried shrimp, too.
Yeah, fried shrimp, yeah.
I would do some damage, I think, to a Golden Corral in my heyday, which is now.
No,
they got those jumbo fried shrimp right now that they're showing on the commercial. Man, you could go through a lot of that.
1706, what will be the opening song for the Rolling Stones when they start their tour in Houston? I'm not a music guy. This is all...
This is Glenn Davis's wheelhouse. Glenn Davis's favorite band ever is the Rolling Stones.
I mean, do they open up with Satisfaction?
I don't think so.
Satisfy the crowd, maybe.
You think they close with that?
Probably one of the encores.
What about Paint It Black, maybe?
Ooh.
I think you could open with Paint It Black.
Yeah.
What y'all's... Wheatstraw wants to know what y'all's deadlift PR.
What? Personal?
Yeah, personal
I have no
record.
Idea what it is.
Deadlift?
I'm anti-exercise, so I'm not the guy
I've never done deadlifts.
Yeah, I have no idea what it is.
You don't work out the legs?
No, never. Sean Respert and I had that conversation this weekend. Nope, never in a million years.
You're like Keon Clark? You're all upper body?
No, it doesn't mean my legs aren't strong. With the ability to do the stuff that we had to do in like college and high school and stuff, my legs are strong, but I've always seen too many guys get injured lifting with your legs. I don't do it.
No, you're Keon Clark. No, you don't. I wouldn't have guessed that you don't work out your legs. Your legs look proportional to your body.
I've seen a lot of bad knees because of excessive leg lifting.
Yeah, your legs do look proportional to your body.
I don't want this to be a Josh Beard thing. We'll get into all of our personal bests.
Mine's like 85 pounds, probably. Mailbag, much like earlier, do we over-talent our Rockets? Are we doing the same for the Texans this offseason, or do we think it's justified?
Well, I think it's justified. I think that they have improved their talent all across the board on offense and on defense. And I think that they are living up to the expectations from the standpoint of what they're doing to prepare for the upcoming season.
Yeah, I don't think – I mean, we're talking about like Jalen Green, probably not a top 50 player. Alpe was in the top 60. Fred VanVleet was in the top 60. C.J. Stroud's a top 5-7 quarterback in the NFL. The wide receiver core, like that's the top. I think it's the top wide receiver trio in the NFL. Right. It's definitely top three-ish. Mm-hmm. If you want to throw Schultz in there, make it a pass-catching quartet.
Top five, top 10 tight end in the league.
Yeah, so I think their quartet's easily the number one quartet in the league. Defensively, Will Anderson was the truth as a rookie. Danielle Hunter has, like, he's done it in the NFL for a very long time. Stingley has done it. Like, Stingley was really good last year. The Texans young players have done it.
Stingley had a really, really good year last year. Look, I don't know how you discount their talent.
Yeah, I don't. Who's your pick for head coach of the year in the NBA?
Mark Dagnall, the OKC coach.
Yeah, where did he come from? That guy's good.
He was on the bench with somebody's like top assistant, but I think he came through the Spurs tree. I think.
Yeah.
He's really good. And look, for them to end up with the number one seed in the West, with the defending NBA champions and the teams that have been in the West this year, that's a hell of an accomplishment.
Yeah, he's a really good coach. I'm impressed by him. No problem with that at all. Corey, was UFC 300 the best UFC card to bottom? This says card to bottom ever. I think there's a typo there. I think he meant top to bottom.
It went forever, didn't it?
It was a long one.
Yeah,
it was a long one. I would say that it had the most depth ever, but I'm going to sound like a casual here. I think it lacked main event, top billing, greatest like main event ever.
Well, was it Gaethje that got knocked out? The call
that was like that wasn't even the co-main event.
But that was a hell of a moment.
It's a great fight. That was for the BMF championship, which I love the fact how they're acting like this is a real thing. Like they made a championship round. Yeah. They put the graphic where it had the C next to the winner. Like it was hilarious next to Holloway. But it lacked, like, it didn't have a Jon Jones. It didn't have a Conor McGregor. It didn't have, like, say what you will about Ronda Rousey. Like, it didn't have the megastar of their time, which, you know, maybe UFC right now doesn't have that megastar of its time.
Well, isn't McGregor coming back?
Yeah, he's coming back in June 29th.
Yeah, but is he going to be a star?
Chandler.
He's going to be a draw.
He's going to get destroyed. He's a draw. Like, there's a lot of rumors out there about McGregor right now. Who's the biggest star in the UFC right now? Like from a selling tickets perspective, it still might be Jon Jones. It still might be Jon Jones.
I'm a casual for sure.
I probably am too. I'm trying to
but
pick
you
up.
You attend?
I'm probably more of a casual than like you are, but I'm still a casual. Yeah. Like I'm not AJ Hoffman. But all
Uncle
of
Barney's a fan.
Like
right?
all, yeah, he's a fan of it. He's probably more like me though. There's a lot of really good young fighters right now that are super exciting. None of them have yet, in my opinion, to grasp stardom like Jon Jones, like Ronda Rousey, like Conor McGregor. And maybe no one ever will. Like, Conor McGregor is the most popular UFC fighter from, like, a buys,
who was,
gate perspective
who
ever.
Who was the female after Rousey that was really dominant?
I'm talking about, she did the Modelo commercial.
Yeah, she did the Modelo commercial.
The name's
exactly.
slipping my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was really, really good. Yeah, but she was very the draw, popular. Though. Not
she
as
wasn't?
Big as Ronda. She was, I mean, big, but not Ronda. Like, who is the biggest star right now in UFC from a selling tickets point of view? I think it's Jon Jones and or Conor McGregor. So, like, is that a problem?
My buddy that works for
is
UFC.
That a problem with UFC? Ask him who their biggest draw is. I think that, I mean, McGregor hasn't fought in a while. Last time he fought, he broke his leg. Jon Jones hasn't fought in a while. Jon Jones made this big move to heavyweight. He's fought one time at heavyweight, like, in the last 4 years. I don't think that UFC has, like, a star problem, but who's their biggest draw? Just asking. 7137. But it was a really good card. Really good card. I just don't think it had that top billing like we've seen in the past. I remember UFC 100. Like, it had Brock Lesnar. Like, Brock Lesnar was a draw. That's where John Jones, like, became a name, was UFC 100. I think George St. Pierre might have fought on UFC 100. Maybe even Anderson Silva. So,
what's
like,
our guy from here that was a big...
Derek Lewis.
Yeah, Derek Lewis was always a fun draw.
He was a draw, but not to that level.
No.
He was more third tier, probably. Money is no option. Make your ultimate burrito, bowl, or taco at Chipotle.
Mine's super basic. It's I'm going burrito with the flour tortilla, steak, the cilantro lime rice, guacamole, cheese, and sour cream.
The queso or the shredded?
Shredded.
Both.
That's next level.
Both.
I'm very basic.
Both with the chicken and the steak. Lots of onions.
Oof. Yeah, I could do the fajita onions on there.
I'm usually a game time decision with the fajita veggies. It has to depend on what they look like. Mm-hmm. I like my fajita veggies nice and charred, and I probably like more bell pepper than onion.
In my same. We did fajitas last night. I always go skip the peppers for me and just give me all grilled onions, kind of well done with extra.
Peppers? Yeah, no,
I'm not a big bell pepper.
I love bell peppers.
Yeah, peppers. Peppers are great.
Lisa is, not me.
They got to be really well done for me to order them. I'm usually go bowl there, but I'm not anti-burrito. That's fine, too. Mm-hmm. I go the cilantro white rice. I go with black beans, but drained real good because sometimes it can get a little soggy. Yep.
Yeah.
I've been going double chicken lately. I love the chicken there.
Chicken's good.
Chicken there is really
they're
good.
They're all good. I just prefer steak.
Sometimes I go half steak, half chicken. Other times I go double chicken. Guacamole for sure. Lettuce. And then I do the hot red sauce. The hot red sauce is fantastic. You know, sometimes it'll make your head sweat. Sometimes it has mucho pica, but it's good. It's delicious. Great flavor.
Lettuce, tomatoes, grilled onions, black beans, and the regular salsa for me is fun.
Is that what color is the regular salsa?
It's their red sauce, right?
They're all
shades of red. Yeah.
Oh well, I don't.
The bright red's fantastic flavor, but sometimes it can be pretty hot.
Yeah, I don't need the pretty hot.
Would you rather have to survive 24 hours with one gorilla looking for you or five black mambas?
I've answered this question before. I can't remember what show it was on. So it was one gorilla or how many?
Five black mambas.
Like,
what is my area here? Like, where is the setting of this?
Yeah, it depends on the setting. I mean, the obvious, the gorilla's going to make, I think, quicker work of you if it gets its hands on you. But the idea to me why I would take the gorilla is you know where the gorilla is at all times. So you'll hear it, whereas the snakes can sneak up on you. So I would take the gorilla. Let's say you're in an abandoned mall. Give yourself some real estate.
An abandoned mall. Gorillas can run up to 25 miles per hour.
No,
black mambas go in the water.
Well, you're in a mall, so what are you going to do?
I might create. I might create one if I have to. Yeah, I need to know these things.
I guess you could do
that.
Yeah,
just to protect myself.
Where are you going to? Like, how are you going to like build a pool?
A lot of these malls have like waterfalls and penny throwing ponds.
But you still have to be able to contain the water.
If the snake can't go in the water, then I'm good. I go right in the middle of the damn thing, and they can't get to me.
Gorillas are not too aggressive, are they, unless you make them mad?
I'm probably
if they're looking for you, you probably already did.
I'm going to go gorilla and try to keep my distance in the five black mambas.
You know where the gorilla is. The mambas could be anywhere.
Yeah, especially if there's five. Like, you're never going to have your eye on
all five. You're
never going
to know
where
they are.
Do they travel in packs? I need to know more. I need to research this.
Yeah, I just need to know if there's something that they don't do that I can have access to.
Like, maybe they
travel in bunches. If they don't do water, then I'm good.
Yeah, that's true. And maybe they travel in bunches. They travel in bunches.
Bunches of black mambas, that sounds.
Well, if there's only five of them and they're traveling as five, it's like there's only one.
I think it'd be easier to kill one of them, but if you got five of them.
Well, you're not trying to kill.
If I kill him, then I don't have to worry about it.
Oh, PETA.
Just call my wife. She's worse.
Go-to nacho toppings. Close it out with some food.
Nacho toppings.
Yeah.
A lot of the same things. Chicken, steak, grilled onions. Chopped red onions are fine. Tomatoes, guac, cheese and queso. I'm good.
Yeah, I like the queso or the cheese, whichever one you're going with. Give me some pickled jalapenos.
Yes.
Pickled jalapenos.
Yes.
I usually like a little bit of ground meat seasoned.
Yeah. Steak or ground beef, either one's
Steak's
fine.
Good. Will you put a little frijoles on your nachos?
I put refried beans.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll do that. I love nachos. I haven't had nachos in a while. All right. That does it for our mailbag Monday.
I had nachos at Jack's Grill on Friday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Should have had the wings. The wings look fantastic.
I had the quesadillas. They were fantastic.
Blankers, he's like a kid. Text coming in 3, 2, 1. The expectation of Justin Verlander starts on Friday. What do you do with the rest of the staff now that Justin Verlander looks like he's coming back? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Guys, right now, before we go to the break, a word for Doc Linville. Doc Linville, as you know, best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure. If you don't know what that is, but you've been losing your hair and you don't think there's any way you can get it back and you're considering shaving your head and you don't want to try all the gimmicky stuff like the sprays and the foams, you need to figure out real quick that you have a solution. It's called the NeoGraft procedure, and Doc is the best in the business at doing it. As a listener to ESPN 97.5, you can find out for free. It normally costs $150 for someone off the street to have a consultation with Doc's staff and to try and figure out what the NeoGraft procedure is and if it's right for you. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com. You can get all the information, sign up for an appointment, nothing on the dotted line for you to sign, no money out of pocket, no commitment to be made, just asking questions, getting answers from Doc's staff, and finding out if you might be the next, like me, to do the actual procedure. It is a game changer. You get your hair back, and it is unbelievable how good it looks. All the follicles go in the same direction as your existing hair. You're not going to have cowlicks. You're not going to have all this discombobulated hair. It is your own hair, placed the right way, in the right spots, to give you everything that you used to have, and sometimes more. Check him out today and tell him I sent you by, because he's the best in the business. But get that free consultation and see if the NeoGraft is right for you. Go to 975hair.com.